You're listening to the Lovish Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Sita Hood, vision architect and licensed therapist. Each week, I'm going to help you to develop the belief and strategy necessary to make an immediate impact on the world by deep diving into topics like mental wellness, faith, relationships, and you guessed it, love. I should mention before we hop into the show, this is not a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist. You ready? Let's get it. Welcome back for another episode of the Lovish Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Sita Hood, vision architect and licensed therapist. What is in your mug today? As you might notice, I don't have a mug again today. And I don't have a mug this week because after I'm done recording this episode, I'm gonna head to my porch and drink probably a caramel latte on the porch while I work on my laptop. So I am super excited about doing that. Mentally and physically, I'm doing really, really well. I'm getting back into my routines. Routines really help me. So it's great to be getting back to them. I started a new book that I'm going to tell you about a little bit later, and it just feels really good. Reading just like really puts me in a place of peace. And I think it's because it's a hobby that I used to do as a kid. Do you have any hobbies? What's your hobbies? Comment down below. I need to know your hobbies. And if you are listening to this podcast, maybe take a screenshot of the episode and tag me on Instagram at Dr. Sita Hood and let me know what your hobbies are. I would love to hear from you. Okay, let me ask you a question as we dive into this episode. Have you ever seen a woman that always appears so confident in everything that she does? Like, it seems like she has all the answers and she has everything completely figured out. It seems like there's no pivoting in her business because, you know, like with us millennials, we have 9 million ideas at all times. So it's like, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. And then we all pivot like, oh, I'm pivoting this month, I'm pivoting that month. She ain't pivoting. She's on the same straight and narrow course every single time. Her topics are the same. You know, there's confidence in the boardroom if she works in corporate. Her kids always look put together. Come on now. Come on now. You ain't never seen her kids out of pocket, right? And it seems like she has amazing boundaries. It seems like she literally navigates effortlessly through her life. And if you've ever seen that woman, that's what it looks like when you have several emotionally safe relationships in your life. Now, notice I did not say homegirl's life was perfect at all, but when you have emotional safety, then you have room for mistakes. And if there's room for mistakes, then there's room for exploration. And that's where the confidence is developed in continuing to test out things, experiment with things, getting comfortable with who you are. When people feel emotionally safe, they thrive. They're confident. They flourish in life quite literally. I remember that I took my daughter to the Dana Gresh Crazy Hair Tour, and it was an overnight conference. And there was this part in the conference where they told us to stop and have a conversation with our daughters about any insecurities they might have, and then to pray for her to be able to overcome the insecurities. And they had already explained what insecurities meant to the girls and things like that. And so I paused and I turned to talk to my 11-year-old daughter, and I asked her what she was insecure about. And you know, I'm in full like therapist mama mode. I'm like, yeah, baby, like I'm here. What are you insecure about? And she was like, nothing. And I was like, huh? You have no insecurities? She's like, no, there's nothing that I feel bad about or anxious about or shy about. Like, absolutely nothing. She was unbothered. If unbothered was a person, honey, okay? And I was like absolutely amazed because at 11 years old, like if we go back, I had a truckload of insecurities at 11. But I was thinking to myself, like, wow, that's what it looks like to have safety in relationships, confidence, a fearless girl ready to take on the world, a fearless girl that doesn't really have all these other, like, she doesn't pay attention to all these outside voices because there's emotional safety in her relationships, because there's freedom to make those mistakes in her relationships. And clearly I said mistakes, because nobody's perfect, because it happens. You know, it is what it is. But baby girl's confidence level is on fleek, okay? Ooh, that's a throwback word. We gonna leave that in there. We gonna keep rolling with it. But for real, her confidence is on fleek. And so let's answer the question, what is an emotionally safe relationship? Well, you define your version of emotional safety. But ultimately, emotional safety has a couple of baseline characteristics, or relationships that are emotionally safe have a couple of baseline characteristics. And those characteristics include respect and investment in the person's overall well-being, certain levels of intimacy, and space for authenticity on both parts. So again, respect and investment in the person's overall well-being, levels of intimacy, and authenticity. And we can't try to force somebody into an emotionally safe relationship. Let them leave if they want to leave, or if they don't feel that the relationship is right for them. Because truth be told, whether we can see it or not, honey, you're holding space for someone who actually wants to be in your life. So we have to let people leave, and we have to let people live. If people do things differently than you, you can't call it weird. As long as it doesn't go over your boundaries, let them be themselves. That's part of an emotionally safe relationship. Who am I to say that my way is the right way to do a thing? So what? You have a different perspective than me. If we have agreed to a certain boundary, a certain standard, a certain expectation, and the way that you do the thing is different than the way I do the thing, fine. That's part of creating emotional safety in relationships. So let's actually talk about how to create the emotional safety in new relationships. I think you can create emotional safety by doing two things. There's two things that you need to look at. One, under the core characteristic of emotional safety is emotional intimacy. So you have to define emotional intimacy for yourself, because everybody has a different description of emotional intimacy and therefore emotional safety. Of course, it's heavily based on our background, our past experiences, and what we bring to the table. And this ain't no podcast where it's like, I am the table. No. Literally, what do you bring to the table in terms of the baggage that you carry, the rose-colored lenses? Like, we have to really just like bring all of that out, right? Because of our experiences and backgrounds, we have valid and important contributors to how we see things. And it's going to be different from every other person because your experiences are unique. And when you define your levels or your thought for emotional intimacy, can you go into detail, please? Can you be very clear about what that looks like? Because it's easy for us to say like, well, emotional intimacy looks like support me. And somebody could think that they're wholeheartedly supporting you, but it's not your version of support. So for example, let's just say that I had a tragedy happen and somebody sends me a text and they're like, love you, thinking of you, blah, blah, blah. Like it's a whole novel of a text. And they are like, ooh, I really supported her through that. Versus another person who may come over to my house and offer me less words than your text message and less keywords than your text message, but I feel like they supported me. Now, what's the difference, right? Because if we get into an argument and I'm like, you didn't support me when this happened. Yes, I did support you. Well, that was your version of support and emotional intimacy and emotional safety versus mine. My version of support and emotional safety was somebody being physically present with me and speaking those words, or maybe just somebody being physically present. So we have to get petty. We have to dissect. We have to go deep when we're talking about defining emotional intimacy. So go into detail as to what that looks like for you. And I have a two-part series called Elevating Your Communication on the podcast, and I will link it down below this episode or in the show notes, just to help you get a clear definition of emotional intimacy and how to share what that feels like for you with someone else. So here's the hard part of this here episode and creating emotional intimacy. You have to also hold up a mirror, right? We have to look at the toxic behaviors that you tend to have that come up to prevent emotional safety in the relationship. So if we go back to that baggage, if we go back to all your past experiences, then we also will tap into some of those triggers, right? And I know, we always want to say, no, it was her, she played me, or it was him, he did this, whatever. We always like to think that things boil down to the other person, but in reality, yeah, honey, there's a role that you play in how things flow too. I don't want to be the one to say it, but I am. We've got to take a look in the mirror. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've won people over with the response in kindness versus a harsh one. And that's because it is a choice in how we respond. I was recently out with a group of people and we needed this restaurant to make an exception for us based on an event that was happening. So long story short, the person who was in charge of everything was extremely rude to the restaurant staff, basically like bullying their way into getting what they wanted. They had an attitude, and honestly, it was a strong sense of entitlement to make a fuss if they didn't get what they wanted. I was embarrassed, okay? I was embarrassed, okay? But here we are. And so the restaurant gave us what we asked for, but they had an attitude about it. And it was likely because the person in charge had an attitude. And I went back and I apologized to the staff for that person's attitude. And I basically heavily thanked them for accommodating us. And their tone and their demeanor in serving us instantly shifted. They softened up and, you know, of course, everything we needed was provided for. But before, they had total attitudes about doing it. But after I had that conversation with them, then they softened up and everybody was in a better, lighter mood. And they had got me some extra food. And I didn't do it for the extra food, but you know. No, seriously, I didn't even ask for that extra food. They just did it because they were kind. So they had already made this big exception for us. And then they just was like, slash shorty a little bit of extra. I was like, okay, I'll take it. Thanks, guys. But kindness and how you respond to a situation matters. It dictates the flow of the conversation and it dictates the flow of the relationship. You get to choose your response. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you respond. So you have to dig in there and examine your role in all of this stuff too. Okay. So creating emotional safety in relationships that are misaligned. Sticky. And how do I define a misaligned relationship? Well, people that you always seem to have friction with, people that you tend to find yourself in little spats, like just little annoying spats. You like, she getting on my nerves. He getting on my nerves. It's like little prickles, just That's a sign of a misaligned relationship, and there needs to be a conversation. Now, you can create emotional safety in relationships that are out of alignment, but do you want to create emotional safety? That's an essential question. And I hear you because it's like, well, what if that person is my mama? What if that person is my sister? What if that person is my spouse? Like, I hear you. I got you. The essential question is still going to be the same. Do you want to create emotional safety here? Or are you doing it out of obligation? Is emotional safety something that the other person would be willing to get on board with? Or is this something that you want to force somebody into? Remember a few minutes ago, we had said, like, you cannot, like, force people into emotional safety. That applies here as well. Letting people leave, letting people walk away, letting people do what they need to do in the relationship is part of emotional safety. And believe it or not, creating distance from toxicity is a win for you. Okay, we're gonna take the win here, right? All right. If you are not even really sure how to examine all of that, you don't know what kind of expectations you have in a relationship, then I want to recommend that you check out the Relationship Expectations series that is on the podcast. And I will also link that below. Once you work through those episodes, it's really going to help you discover how to eliminate or reduce the conflict in your relationships by setting up your relationship expectations. It's going to give you a very high level view of the relationship ranking system and take you through like a relationship assessment to figure out like where this person belongs, if you actually want them in your circle, how we move forward. And then it's going to talk about the impact of high value relationships to your future, your purpose, and your ability to flourish in your current season. So once you've worked through those episodes, then we want to go through the process for repairing the relationship and then working through the same two steps that we talked about in this episode, which are defining emotional intimacy and then looking at the toxic behaviors you have that can prevent you from being able to engage in an emotionally safe relationship. It's time to talk about what I've been loving. Product recommendations, shout outs to family and friends, and overall gratitude. Let's get into it. Welcome back to another What I've Been Loving. This week, I've been loving this book. It is A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. Just like acting silly with y'all. A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. And it's not really what you think, okay? I'm not going to read the back of it, but essentially, when we're talking about like emotionally safe relationships, I was very surprised how Pip, who is the main character in this story, how she felt emotionally safe with one of the characters right away. Because low key, I would have been like, whenever it comes to like murder mysteries or just mysteries in general, I'm always like, what she mean by that? Don't trust that person. Can't do that. And it's because I'm trying to figure out who the person is the whole time. So if you love reading and if you love reading psycho thrillers, then you might want to pop up on this one. And I know when I take like reading suggestions from people on YouTube or TikTok or whatever, I always want to know what other books they loved and how they rated it is so that I know if what they're saying actually would fit with the genre of books that I love. I have read over 10 Freda McFadden books and I pretty much loved most of them. I loved Alice Feeney until I read I Know Who You Are. If you have not read that book, you're not gonna listen to me when I tell you don't read it, but I'm telling you, I will just say read with caution because I wish that I hadn't got to the end of that. So I like Alice Feeney, but I like Freda McFadden more when it comes to psycho thrillers. Of course, we love some Kennedy Ryan, Mimi Grace, Christina C. Jones, like Lisa Jewell. Most of the time, her books are really good, but sometimes, average outcomes. So I hope that gives you some sense of the books that I love to read and whether you might enjoy this as a read as well. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, share the love. Share with your mama, share with your auntie, share with your best friend. Then head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Reviews help the podcast to grow. Well, that's all I have for you today. I'll see you out in these social media streets. Bye.